to report on, so. Thank you. Let's start. For the sake of our colleagues from the DA and COP, I think I don't see why the political party. There's been a slight change to the membership of the ANC component. Just so that you know that these are members of the portfolio committee as of today. I'm going to ask them one. Recognize at least two new ones. There should be a few more just to identify this stuff so that you know that we have a team, but there are at least two more that we will afford an opportunity to announce themselves when they arrive, because I think that's probably better. ANC, we know that Mr. Sundaka fell here this morning, so please know that Mr. Sundaka is not allowed to fell here this morning. No other apologies. Can we then ask, starting from that corner there, that we just introduce each other as a member so that at least we know. And Vincent Smith from the ANC, chairperson. That's the team. As I indicated earlier on, there's at least two more ANC members that will, when they are informed that they are part of this committee, will join us. We'll ask the department to introduce themselves in a minute. But the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, and to the media, both print and electronic, welcome. You're always welcome to this meeting. We have the first item of the agenda, a progress report from the minister to deal with the issues around the national commissioner. Secondly, as a committee, we just need to get an indication from the department what legislative program you have for the year. It helps us plan as a committee, and it helps us also to perhaps suggest a few areas that we think as a committee that the areas that should be included that is not taken into account. It's really just about sharing and each other. And then there was an issue around the SIU that was going to be held tomorrow. We can just discuss it either in the first late yesterday, and as a committee we'll discuss it and see how we take forward the next up the SIU meeting as well. Originally scheduled for tomorrow morning. Are there any other agenda items that members want to put on? This is the agreed upon agenda. Thank you that we're all happy. Thank you very much. In terms of time, we have this venue for one. We have this venue for one. It is 10:30. Can we then afford the minister, I don't know how long the lead minister after you introduce your team, stuff to take up for your progress report. You will get open for discussion among members and see where we take it. And hopefully that we can deal with it in an hour. And maybe we'll deal with the second agenda item and move on from there. So if you could just indicate to the committee who from your team here, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Our apologies, Chair and Committee, that we came in 10 minutes late. We just come out of another mission with the Deputy Minister, which is dealing with another situation, one of the problems. But Chair, from the Department of Ministry, Correctional Services, the Deputy Minister here is here, you know, and then the political advisor, Mr. Ntakana. Mr. Ntakana is Dr. Alice Moreta Lowe, who is the legal advisor to the minister. And then next to her is Konwabo Mbananga, who is the media liaison in the office of the minister. And then right next to Congressman Winnigan, you have Abna. Abner, I'm sure you've been interacting with him a lot. He is a parliamentary officer in the office. Just to indicate here that we did not invite a person from the department to liberate this because we were informed that there are two items. One item is the legislative program, and the second one is the matter of the suspension of the national committee. So we felt that we could handle that and we did not need really support of the department. We don't want to take away their attention from that entire situation. Chairperson, you recall that the last time when we were here, when we attended the workshop with the portfolio committee, we made an undertaking that by now this matter is going to pass. But allow me, Chair, to take you through the processes that we had to go through to get us where we are today. Some of which are major challenges for us because in government there's what is called due processes. And there are occasions where you have to allow the due processes to take their own place. So you will remember that we suspended. We put the National Commissioner on a precautionary suspension. In order for us to give ourselves time to investigate and see if in fact there is a case for the court. Indeed, we did that in consultation with the Minister to PSA. And the Minister to PSA actually set up a task team from the PSA itself to conduct an investigation on the matter, a preliminary investigation. We determined the terms of reference of that testing, and indeed they conducted that inquiry. They interviewed several people from the department and produced a report, which report was received by us on the 21st. You recall that when we suspended the National Commission, we did say to the South African public that by the end of the month of July, we would be having a report. Indeed, on the 21st of July, we received that report. However, the report clearly indicated that there was need for further action with the National Commission. And on the day we were here, we did indicate that the report is out, but there's now a process between the Minister to PSA and the Minister. And we thought that by the 15th of August, at least we'll be having an indication of the report. What we lost sight of is the fact that having had a report is not enough to determine whether a person is guilty or not. There has to be due process, and we have to follow every step in order to make sure that the national commitment is not taken. So the report was out, and on the 6th of August, the Minister of the PSA, together with the Deputy Minister, had a meeting with the National Commission, where they discussed the initial findings in that report contained in that report, and also to give the Commissioner an opportunity to reply. She had a deadline on the 1st, which was last week on Wednesday. I'm aware that she has met that deadline. She has written a letter to the Minister of PSA. It's important for me to indicate that it has been made very clear to us that we have requested the PSA to handle this matter on our behalf and behalf of government, and that we should try as much as possible to stay out of it until the Minister has actually completed. So we are not certain what the response of the National Commissioner is. We are not privy to the content of the letter to the Minister of DPSA, which was sent to him. But what we are aware of is the fact that the Minister is now seized with the matter. Not only is he seized with the matter, we've actually given him a deadline. But we'd like to make sure that by end of August the matter is completed. We want to have a committee in place. Whether that commissioner would be the current commissioner who is in suspension or a new commissioner is another story, but we want stability in the department as a federal commissioner. Now, I'm then saying at times we give these deadlines and we make these pronouncements because these are our wishes. But actually, process is determined. How the process unfolds, how long it takes. I didn't know that after providing the National Commissioner with the initial report, she would have to be given, for instance, 7 days within which to respond. And that's what is happening now. She has since responded, and the matter is we have to start. So, what is the issue? What are we saying? We are saying to the Portfolio Committee, the process continues and we are happy with the things at which the things are being dealt with, because indeed we made an undertaking that there will be a report by the end of July, and indeed we did get the report. We're hoping that the minister too on his side will try and accelerate the other things. Difficulty we have here is that we do have findings, we do have recommendations. But you also appreciate that the findings are equally relevant to whatever other processes that the minister is currently working on, which actually makes it very difficult for us to actually give clear indications as to what the key findings from the report are. But you recall that, as you say last time, the report is not favorable to the National Commission. And I want to leave it at that. But I don't want to go into the specifics and say these are the findings which are made in the report, these are the recommendations which have been made. Because I don't want to preempt the other processes the minister is involved in. But also, as I say, those details would actually be relevant to the other processes which are currently asked. So, short of using the word substance, yes, maybe that's the word you should be using, that I can go, that this, I can't go beyond it would be very difficult for me, because even the Minister of CPSA actually did request us to leave this matter to him. No statement should be made until such time he has resolved the situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Let's engage with the 10 members. Let's engage with this matter. We'll allow the members to make initial input, and then maybe Minister will respond, and if we need to, we will do it. another round.
The matter of the regional commissioner was in the inquiry. The initial inquiry of the international commissioner was to determine whether in fact she had authorized accommodation for the regional commissioner. Okay. That was one of the things of it. Well, the question that had arisen was, why is it that we have not put her in suspension? We were dealing with a matter and we were obviously hoping that everything else would flow from that initial inquiry. So that's where things are. But I must say that, colleagues, at a meeting we had yesterday with the top manager, one of the areas that we decided to look into is the whole area of accommodation for SMS members. The problematic area, there are serious gaps in fact, there's no services to talk about. So we requested that, one, they should actually draw a policy on the whole area of accommodation, specific reference to SMS. But secondly, that the SMS members who are currently residing in private rented houses by the state should be given 3 months to vacate those and move to the terrain. So these are not the only two people. There are other managers who live outside the complex, but whose accommodation is being rendered by the state. We've given them 3 months to leave those residences and move to the terrain. But within the terrain matter, we are now determining policy as well on what is termed reasonable rental by senior managers at the terrain. Remember, the accommodation in the terrain is highly subsidized. But for senior managers, we say there has to be what is called reasonable rental of that accommodation. So all of those directives have gone out, and we're hoping that at the next top management meeting, the national commissioner will be able to see that. Beyond that, the national commissioner was in September, and the regional commissioner also were finished with letters last week, which are indicating to them that they are given time to look for alternative houses. And this, so whilst all these other things, the investigation is happening, the aspect which we are seeing in the department is happening.
Thank you, Minister. Let's open it up. So, comments, questions? You do what? No, I can't put this way. Let's try 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you take in that order? 1. Anybody else? For the first round. Okay, so, but after 1, Ms. Klein, you'd be 2. Ms. Self, you'd be 3. Ms. Nguyen, you'd be 4. Ms. Nguyen, you'd be 4, and then you'll take another round. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Captain. I think that the room is nice here. The room is small enough to see it. Thank you, Minister, for the report. I must say, even though I'm new in this committee, I'm not that much okay with the matter that was discussing. I'm just coming in with regard to the report that I got this morning. I think I must say that from what the minister is saying, that she has promised to progress report with regard to the commissioner case. I'm impressed by the fact that she said she's doing that report as we speak. I think the issue of the leadership from the report that has been written in the newspaper in the department is very crucial. And the vacuum that is there cannot be allowed to go too long. And from the report the minister is giving us, it seems that action is being taken promptly. But I would like to say that we would like to urge the minister to prevail upon and happily the Minister of Public Service to act promptly, as we have indicated to us that by the 4th of September, we would like that there is a full-time commission in the department. The second issue is the report itself, the substance of the report. Obviously, we are curious as a committee to know as to what are the findings. But that curious, of course, is constrained by the fact that, as you have indicated, the findings are being put to the commission, to the ad committee. It also reminds me of this case of the High Court where judges made public complaints about the particular judge in Calabar. No, I think it is, we have to be proportional. I think I agree with you as to whether we actually disclose the distance, the content of the report. But I'm happy that you have gone as far as actually taking us into consideration by indicating that, in fact, the report is not favorable. I think that is a disclosure in itself, means someone can contest. But in any event, I think it's broad enough that you have indicated to us that, in fact, you are acting and you're serious, and that the report is not favorable, which indicates that you are not prepared to cover up anything in this matter. Well, therefore, I'm going back to what I indicated earlier on that we have requested that working with the other ministers, that taking into account all these particular fairness issues, to make sure that as much as these findings are brought to the attention of the country, that the matter is acted upon immediately. As you say, by this deadline, we are able to make an announcement. Thank you.
I wanted to welcome the report. We have made a promise that we will come back to our this day with the report, and the only thing I wanted to say to you is really we need to speed up this process. We need to write this matter of the have the solution. We cannot have a situation whereby each and every meeting we will come and report, but we don't have a commission. You know, to read about these matters on the news, it's not a nice feeling for you as a portfolio committee member. That is not the only thing I wanted to say. I want to say thank you very much for the steps that you've taken so far, but please speak out the process.
Thank you, Chair. And likewise, thank the Minister for the meeting today. I do understand the issue of due process and how premature disclosure could indeed be problematic in this matter. But you referred to the terms of reference. I don't think you've seen the terms of reference. Not be in the public eye. And I think before you come back to refund fully on the text, I think it's been useful that the terms of reference to see to what extent the investigation by the Department of Public Service Administration has dealt with those issues with the so with this, in the absence of knowing what those terms of reference are, I'm going to now have to ask whether certain things were indeed covered by the investigation. And the first is that it's fairly widely reported in the media that, that the National Commissioner got permission from the then Minister, your predecessor, to go and live in the state. And that then the National Commissioner then gave permission to the Regional Commissioner to go and live in the same Gulf state. But the Regional Commissioner happens to have a relationship with the former minister. Now, I want to know whether that aspect has been covered by the investigation without necessarily going into details about what it's found. The second thing the regional commissioner of Gauteng has been accused in the media at least of a number of other extravagances, including the hire of motor cars, going down to Grandtown's film studies, Grandtown Festival, and a number of other things. I just wanted to know whether this matter has been covered by this investigation, and if it hasn't been covered by this investigation, what is being done to deal with those potentially very serious allegations. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Secretary, I'd like to confirm the previous feedback that came. Thank you for the minister to come and report it to ask for those who still need more. But what I can add, Secretary, is that in terms of the regional commissioner of the audit, I'm happy because the minister is taking care that we are not looking at things of which to which you are going to be important. So it's good because they want to catch each and everyone that it is using those houses that all of them are living in those houses with the right permission. We hope that the minister will come again to take us to the government.
Members, because there were quite a few comments and maybe two or three points of questions, before we ask for response, are there any other members that want to pose a question to the minister at this point?
Yeah.
Hold on, before you speak, I recognize you. Anybody else that want to pose a question? Because I think it's pretty clear what the committee has in mind. So instead of responding and having a second, I is it just the first that wants to raise the point. Okay, Mr. Fritz, maybe raise it and then Minister, you could respond to the three or four questions.
I quickly want to confirm and our support for the due process. I think it's Resolution 1 of 2006 that explains the code of the criminal conduct in the Supreme Court. One issue that baffles me continuously is the question of, and I think this was the Venner raised it, the Sound raised it, the issue where there are relatively serious allegations made against the Gauteng Regional Commissioner, and why he must be cautioned to defend it. I'm not pushing for, and I am going to the point about looking at the systemic problem of our Gauteng, but there are other allegations, serious allegations around, and the Gauteng system. So I think I can know why you're not defending it, and if there are good reasons, I'm not pushing for people's attention, but I think you should know the reason why you do it to one and not to other people. Thank you.
Byron Kimmelier, can we then, Minister, I'm hoping that you've captured most of the points that have been raised by members, can we allow you to respond, and then if members want to do a follow-up on the response, we will allow that to happen as well. But Minister, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I appreciate the consent of the portfolio committee. If I had my way, I would also speed up the process. By now, the matter should be written resolved. But obviously, in our own process, we ourselves felt the hesitation of affording people a due process and allowing people time to do the hearing has actually is what has led to the process. So if I mean, if you're talking about 7 days, for instance, to allow the person to respond, that's a lot of time. I mean, for me, who does not have a commissioner, for us, we don't have a commissioner in the department, in a department such as the one we are running, it's a long time. But that's it. There's nothing we can do about it. We don't want to prejudice the person. We don't want the person to feel that you've already done the issue. So we allow him everything to at the pace of CPSA according to the regulations that are brought up. Mr. Smells, the term of reference, I'm very sorry that we could not provide you with the terms of reference upon the issue, but we will send them to the chair so that she can be sent to the rest of the portfolio. But it's also important to understand any time when you set up, you took the decision to suspend the commissioner and to investigate the case. The matter was around the accommodation, the private accommodation. Yes, there are many, many other things which have come out subsequently, and I'm aware that the department responded to those allegations. But the one matter where I've been personally involved in a discussion with the National Commission are issues which were raised around the RC Foundation report. There was a management letter which was written to the department, which the department did not take. And those matters currently are subject of discussion between the RC Foundation and the National Foundation. There are also other processes, for instance, the matter of, I don't want to go into detail about the matter that has been raised on the site. Without justifying whatever allegations which have been made, but the Arctic Council indeed was also drawn from festival, every indication of the organizer of the festival. But by the way, we had inmates working for some. And she was the only one, by the way, who attended. There are other Arctic who attended. So I've not quite understood what the issue is around that. But nonetheless, when there's an allegation, where the department could respond, the department has responded. And by the way, we have also demanded, where it's necessary, we've demanded answers from the National Commission, the Acting National Commission, about some of the things which have been reported by the National. Some of them have no substance. And some of them, which have been reported, are matters which have been suspended. Why I've not suspended? The basis for the suspension, if you remember when I suspended the National Committee, there was initial information at the disposal of the public. Right? Minister wrote a letter to National Commissioner. The National Commissioner responded in a particular way, right? Which pointed to a need for an investigation. Right? And this is the National Commission. In the instance where certain things have come out around the written commission, I am aware sitting here that the National Commissioner, Acting National Commission, is currently doing it. Including some of the things which have come out in the media, which really shouldn't have come out in the public, which really had nothing to do with the public, but had everything to do with some of their own internal problems in housing. Right? Those matters of an investigation that has been set up, and I think by now the result of the Acting National Commissioner should be having a head about that. Basically, generally about leaking information. There's a lot of leakage of information from the department, some of which really are purely administrative matters which should never be in the purview of the public. And on those matters, there is something that is being done. So the serious allegations I know of against the RC Gauteng in the main are those which were made at the COPA meeting, where the department had not acted on a management letter that was sent to us until a year or two ago about the action. And I'm aware that the National Commissioner right now is acting at some point. So if the media reported some point around the issues that have been raised, which are allegations which are very serious, yeah, the National Commissioner will be able at some point to come and present that report. It's been recorded. So, I think it's important for us to to appreciate that the manner in which we act on these matters. We act, we study the situation, we seek to verify the allegations, but if I were to act on the basis of the media report every day, even on matters we really attempt and look after, I would be managed in a situation where I would cause a lot of instability in the department by conducting everything investigation about everything. So I really pick on things. If I think that there's substance here, put you on a precautionary suspension and investigate. So if there will come a time when we feel all of us that beyond the things which we are currently dealing with, there are things we need to investigate around the actual culture, we'll do so. So the fact that she has not been suspended now is not intended to cover her or to protect her. With no reason to want to do it. But remember, the priority was to deal with the matter of the National Commission, hoping that, flowing from that, we will have a sense of it. And I do think that we need to have a sense of it in place. And when we disclose the full content of the report, we will then inform you about what else we are doing to deal with the situation.
Any more input from members? Mr. Pichai? Mr. Kraus? Mr. Fuss? Is that all? Thank you.
You know, we're not looking at this issue. Why is this point serious? But the problem is only to perform with two partners. One of them and the partner. It means whatever the decision is, for instance, it is in compliance with other parties. You cannot take a unilateral decision.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Sepp, I beg your pardon. Thank you. I beg your pardon, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister, for the responses. I gathered from what you said that the EPSA report per se does not deal with the allegations that the subsequently made about the regional commission. Except insofar as the National Commission gave or did not give permission for search for the women's accommodation. I asked the question simply because there was a DCS spokesperson called Becky Mandini who invited people who had information about these allegations to report them to the Commission for Public Service. So that was the context of the question that I asked. The second thing is I'm intrigued that the Minister told us today that there's an investigation into the leaking of information. I hope that, you know, that this isn't a question of, you know, shooting the messenger rather than getting to the bottom of whatever needs to be got to the bottom of. And finally, I'd just like to know that in view of the deadline that the Minister has announced, when can we have a meeting at which we get the report and that we get a meeting on what actions we need to take? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Cook?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to submit to you, sir, that the allegations against the team, the allegations against the review commissioner for something. It's so serious. None of the second one is listed, but after the rest of it came out so far. That I think it is, or perhaps you should apply one enough submitting it to really consider even if the petition goes. So that, and I think the idea, as the, your legal advisor informed me, is to not, is to sustain them and not interfere with the investigation. I think that's the course to do later on.
So that is why we give an instruction that in consultation with the people, obviously, we have to develop a housing policy. Not only develop a housing policy, but also look at to get some of the challenges we have with regard to issues of rental accommodation. The no-go now. All members who are occupying private residences which are rented by the department should have received letters from the National Commissioner instructing them to move to the carrier. In other words, in the premises of DPS. But in the case of DPS premises themselves, we are now developing a policy on what would be a reasonable rent cap for the carrier. Then number two, on the proper issue relating to active housing. It's not just active housing, by the way, to remember. Issues which were raised by proper, which is much more broader than that. Right? In the first instance, it's about a management letter which was sent to us by National Treasurer. We should not accept it. That's from that. And as I'm talking to you, this has been the National Commissioner has been dealing with that issue. So it's not just about an issue focusing on the anti-housing, it's about all the other people and all the other managers and everything else that was mentioned at COPA, all the issues which were contained in the management letter sent to the department which had not been acted upon, because we now have to account as to why we never acted. So, it's a whole subset of issue. No, the matter of leaking information is not about shooting the messenger. It's not about shooting the messenger. Therefore, when that report is ready, I think the National Commissioner should actually come and take a question about what that does. Where the investigation is, or perhaps in fact, I think it's always better to come to the portfolio committee when you are ready, and not come and give you different pieces of information and cause unnecessary stress and tension. So actually, if I were to respond then to the question raised about when next we can investigate, I certainly wouldn't want to appear before the portfolio committee before the full report. Because if I were to commit myself to a date and say, for instance, by the 1st of September, I would be able to come back and find that, in fact, we are not ready to come and present that report to you, it may just create unnecessary. So it is better for us to say that once the report is ready, once we receive the report, we indicate to the chair, to the portfolio committee, that we are ready to come and present. Because also, as much as possible, we would really want to avoid a situation where we pick up things to the media. It's better if you get it from us, we present issues to you, and then the media can pick it up from there. So once the report is ready, we indicate and we come down to you to give you a question. Now, taking my view, I don't remember the statement that anyone may have missed it, maybe he could make a statement. But I just want to say that there are many, many other institutions currently, National Commission for Children, the acting National Commission for Children, to try and clean up against some of the critical areas which are in. And as I said, some of them, it's not about, it's like the issue of accommodation. I mean, let's say tomorrow you ask the question that I come and present the entire report about everybody and everybody who lives in a private and local communication. That really is a solution. What is critical for us to do is to come back to you and say, following the report from the National Commissioner and the Regional Commissioner Council, we now are aware that one of the critical challenges we have is the whole area of housing for this community. And this is how we start to deal with it. So we just, because we've now taken a decision that there has no occupation of the accommodation for senior managers. We've given FEMA to vacate those places and then move on to the chair. Then we've developed, obviously, a render system, which is a risk method for all of them, so that we don't give houses which are highly subsidized. So for me, what is cheap? Because all of these challenges have arisen because there is no job. So it's not like there's a flouting of quality by GDP. But of course, in the case of the two, I mean, if you look at the amount involved, it's exorbitant. That's why we started with them and said, even though there is an inquiry, but meanwhile, they should actually vacate that the initial estate. Because of the price, and I'm sure even this matter wouldn't have been brought to the attention of the public were it not for the amount which are involved in the rental of that facility. So the voters are the only managers who are occupying private rental. In Western Cape, there's a problem with the house on the terrain. The RC Western Cape is occupying a rented house by the state. But it's obviously reasonable amount to talk about. Same applies in the Eastern Cape. In some cases, people are living in other state houses, not established state houses, where the department is not paid. LML, Regional Commission, also occupying rented accommodation inside the state. But what we're trying to deal with is precisely that managers shouldn't be living in accommodation that is rented. None of the people in GPS should live in accommodation which is rented to private state. It doesn't matter the amount of money. But secondly, right, where they move to the terrain, you then deal with the issue of payment of rental. So I think that, quite honestly, the matter, the issue is around development of policies and making sure that people comply with it.
Thank you, Minister. Minister, just in summarizing then, it's very clear that the committee one welcomes the fact that you, as promised about a month ago, come back and give us a progress report. But clearly, we're very eager that this matter gets finalized sooner rather than later. That the committee is very clear. because it's not just about us wanting to put pressure on you or whoever is dealing with this matter, but we can't have a situation where the department continues to be leaderless because we are dealing with this matter. So beyond just what we're dealing with now, we want stability in the department. The deadline of the end of August or the beginning of September is something that we welcome. We wouldn't hold you to this, but we welcome the fact that by the EU committed, or not committed, but you have indicated that your own wish is that by the end of August this matter will be today, and 1st of September we have a council of it. We will support you in that department. So thank you very much for that. In terms of the time frame, when you come back to us, Minister, we have a meeting set for the 18th of November with the department. We can deal with all these other issues that we're talking about. The investigation of the commissioner, this investigation. The commission are looking at the RTF charging and all those things. We're seeing them as owners of general and the agency. We want to do the four of those matters by the agency. Get that out of the way. And then, of course, in terms of this particular matter, as soon as possible, if you indicate to us the facilities, we will make space in our program so that we can get this matter out of the way and replace our stability in the department. On those words, we want to close this agenda item and move on to the next one. Happiness, thank you very much.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, police, I think that it's important that all of the members should be aware that a person who feels to pinch even more is asked to pinch. Remember, all of this is happening every time when we are. That time we fight enough women in the agency. And we have to implement the order. There are challenges at the center, the hunger strike, as you are aware. So we need an accounting officer. We really need, even as we were talking this morning, we were saying we need an accounting officer, but when are we going to get an accounting officer to this country? You would like to have an accounting officer, personally, fully accountable. We have a good acting national commission chair. Really, highly efficient woman who understands the department as well. But even for her, it's very difficult because, you know, when you are acting, it's not like when you are fully appointed, a full employee of the department as an accounting officer. I think those are two different matters. So the people who feel the same even more, it's us here. Because it's not as though in the provinces the East Africa, there are areas which are quite challenging right now, and we really wanted to have an accounting officer who's going to run all over and try to sort that out. So we will try to communicate this to the GPSA, to the Minister of the GPSA. He's aware of the sort of needs and feelings of the that we will try.
Thank you, Minister. We want to then move on to agenda item number 2. The Minister, or the Deputy Minister, could give us an indication of the legislative program that you have for the immediate future.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, it is now August. And we certainly have ambition to do certain things and pass some piece of legislation to Parliament. But we also are aware that it's extremely important. If we're talking about development of legislation now, and drafting thereof of that legislation, it's practically impossible to expect that Parliament will be able to pass that legislation during this parliamentary session. So in dealing with the matter, yes, there is work which has begun in the department, areas where we believe that we need to develop policy, but we also can't say to the procurement committee, we expect to do these things now when the process is exactly initiated. The first one, Chairperson, I must indicate that we've agreed in the department that we need to clean up the correctional services. And those of you who were in the committee at the time will recall that we passed the correctional services act without a white paper for the department. So we have to clean it up so that our Correctional Services Act is in line with both the Constitution and the white paper. That's the first thing we have to do. So there's a process right now of identifying which are the critical areas which must be dealt with in the Correctional Services Act. But the second matter is the whole area of remand detainees. tell you, recall that the review process last year determined that the Department of Correctional Services should actually set up a grant to deal with remand detainees. But you and I know that the whole matter of remand detainees actually should not be a matter for correctional services, but should be a responsibility of the entire JCPS structure. Because it has to do in the name of the Department of Justice. But we nonetheless have been instructed that we should deal with the matter. When dealing with the matter, I think I did indicate to you that I will be setting up an interdepartmental task team to focus on it. We still set up that task team. There are people who have started working with correctional services on the structure, the policy, everything that revolves around remand. But in addition, we would like to remove that section which you find in the Correctional Services Act dealing with remand detention from the Correctional Services Act to set up a piece of legislation that actually outlines and provides us with guidance on how to deal with remand detention. So we plan to develop. So this process, the departmental process, should also produce that piece of legislation, so that these are two separate things. Where we deal with corrections is a piece of legislation, where we deal with remand detainees is a piece of legislation. The other area which we are seriously considering here is we've instructed the legal advisor here to work together with the department to determine in the best instance, because we don't know if we're going to make legislation for this, to determine whether we will require to regulate on the use of electronic monitoring of inmates. Because our intention, one of the strategies we would like to adopt for reducing overcrowding is that of having people. Now, we're not sure if we'll be required to have regulations or a piece of legislation. So it's good to have the intention. We could actually do it tomorrow, but we also have to check to establish whether in fact we will need a piece of legislation to guide how we do it. So that work is working for us right now. But the other area where we're hoping it will not require legislation, but I need to state it here because we've instructed that people should actually there to check whether we need to develop legislation, is that of allowing women with children to have their sentences converted through the court of law, obviously, so that they go and serve a community correction or whatever. Not that we do not recognize some of the grave crimes which some of them, serious crimes they've committed, no. Only because, one, we have to alleviate the load, we have to deal with overcrowding, but in addition, it is our view that it cannot be correct, it is abnormal to punish a child because the mother is committed. And of course, when you look at the situation holistically, and if you look at the numbers of young people at our center, the fact that we have plus minus 70% of the people at our center being young people whose ages range from 17 to 30, 35, serving life bars, long sentences, 30 years, 40 years, must be an indication that there's something wrong. Something wrong to a point where I have requested the National Commissioner to get the policy unit to establish, together with academic institutions, to do a research which will assist us to identify all the children who were born in prison. Where are they? What are they doing? is it not possible that some of them are taking the system as convicted? Mm. So in order for us to do that, obviously a lot of work has to be done to the Department of Justice, to the court, with everybody else, with the police. It's not a decision we can take on our own. We have an ambition to do it, but we also have to determine whether we will require legislation for us to do it. The last matter is that of the medical parole. You recall that during the budget vote, we did mention to say that we requested that the time to develop policy around the whole area of medical parole. Because much as the Act says medical parole, but in fact when you read, it actually talks to people who are terminally ill. So we requested him to look into that whole area, but also we need to make choice now today. And one of the things we want to propose is that that team which is working on that should not work on its own. There should be consultation with medical practitioners and with many other NGOs dealing with this matter. So that when finally that policy comes out, right, it's a well thought piece of legislation. Of course, we don't know if we'll be told that this should be separate piece of legislation or that is in the course of amending the Correctional Services Act, we will then have to include that aspect. So obviously, the outcome of that research would result in a legislative amendment of the current. Now, if you listen to all of what we said about the legislation, it's not possible that these will be placed before Parliament and be passed by Parliament before the election. Not possible. So we do have work that has begun in the Department. This is what legislation which was placed before Parliament, but if you look at the time, it's not possible that Parliament will be able to. So, Chair, we are presenting to you this area, very much cognizant of the fact that there could be more areas identified for legislation, but for now, these are the ones we are still occupied with. And the way we read the situation, it could be that we can only be passed at the beginning of the year.
Thank you, Minister. It really was an information sharing. Just to recap, we're talking about the alignment of the Act with the White Paper and the Constitution, the whole issue around the remand center, the electronic tagging, everything around women and children in prison, and then the medical parole. Those are the areas that the committee or that the department has identified. We agree with you, Minister, also that this will not be finalized in this financial year. This year, we agree with that. We will come to you. But what we really don't want to get into the debate and discussion, because we'll have opportunity to do that when it comes. But I do think if there are just any areas that members of the test maybe alert the minister, bearing in mind that we can't have a wish list that is not going to be achievable. Unless there's something that is glaringly missing from this list that we think would take us forward as a department and as a nation, you are allowed to raise it. But everything else, as it comes to us, we'll have an opportunity to input. So I really don't get into the detail. If there's anything you can raise it, but Mr. Madata, I had noted that you wanted to say something. Is there anybody else for the minister and the department can come to you? Yeah. But that's it, Mr. Madata, Mr. Fritz will be number two, Mr. Pizza number three, and Mr. Mugwene will be number four.
Maybe number five.
Yes, sir. I beg your pardon. So we're going to be number five.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I agree that the between the
the law process and the Polish law. Just to, I think I was to help. I think I agree with you, Minister. I'm commenting with this demand that this is really a class test. Not about the attendance, but the class, and not strictly speaking by your party. Because, and that's important because then it has implications on the shared party and shared flavor. And what I said, the correction of the community, how many communities, maybe you may have blamed them, and if this is properly handled, you may have to reduce the issue. I'm just giving an example. So, if you look at the demand, people, I mean, who are they? It's the police in the first place, the department, they have power to the community. So they have some power of occupation. You also will increase people. And then there are people who are detained during trial because they are in the middle of the trial. And there are people who are detained pre-trial because their cases have not started, but they are detained to ensure that the effect undergo the trial, it's not the case. So that's an important analysis, so that you begin to see that as your correct indicator, what have you to do with people who are on pre-trial? They are in prison, they are in a pre-trial, and they came to go to a trial. They don't necessarily come to you, or they are in the middle of the trial. Or they may come to you, but I'm saying it needs to be understood what is the process they are involved in. Because it's unfair to them. Imagine if I'm in the middle of a trial and I'm grabbing shoulders to the previous people. And in the end, I am trapped in the trial. But I've already had an experience of imprisonment. So there are many constitutional issues there, delicate as they may be, that need to be looked. So I'm just throwing that in, that you are correct, that this cannot be that. We need to look at this very, very clearly. So that we share the budget with those who participate, it might be justice material, trial issues and people who are facing their process in their trial before they are actually convicted. It may be. Maybe the police must deal with people who are detained for whatever reason, for their drunk or so, just cannot really either detaining them or the one in sober, I don't know what you call it. Then after 2 days, they just release the card of that manager. And so on. So I agree with you. That's one of the main comments.
Thank you, sir. Was when exactly to the correctional terms of Women Act of 2025, when are we from our government and from the next government? Thank you, generally, in prison, women are not violent. Nobody, all of them are not violent.
executive about it. Many instead of saying one, you know, in some countries now they have what they have good skills for people, they have half open skills. Open prison where people have assembled. So say when you committed an offense, it means you're not normal. Then you must normalize. To normalize human beings means you must be able to have the contact with people. Then women can fall from the attack because they are not valid. They can live sort of from where you sort of like, open prison. But don't have a gun. Yeah, that's what happened in Denmark. In Denmark, you know, even any type of business is allowed to have everything. You see, the policy of normalization of the human being, you normalize the human being. They don't wear a uniform. And they have their feet open. They go there and work and come back. You know, like women and malified men. Because they are not the violent. That it should not be an issue that is dealt with by what is happening to us. The whole system of justice should be able to pay. It means where we have prisons, because at the end of the day, you need, because there are data in me, people have committed serious offenses. Who are away from society. Now, it means now you need to keep them in separate prisons. They must be separate prisons for the prisons where they are kept. But not dealt with only by correctional services. So it means police also in charge. That must also be charged, so that you must be there, you must share that responsibility to keep the victims. But they must be separate, not necessarily in the police cells, because police cells are not a choice enough.
Thank you, sir. You see, Mr. Madasa, that's why when you raised your hand, I was reluctant. Because we'll be discussing matters that will be discussed when it comes to the table. But we were hoping that members would start raise issues that we thought the department. We don't want to get into the discussion because there will be sufficient time. But Mr. Gwenya, followed by Mr. Abram, and then Mr. Yanya. Those will be the three. Mr. Gwenya?
think of capital punishment mercy for us to keep quiet, maybe on that day work at that time. I don't think I have time again. Let us have the same when we put it. Chair, I want to talk on women with children in Jersey. I think we can take a thing now or is the time for us as a community to allow the legislation, the peace of integration, to be in that way we can do. I would like to recommend on the research that the minister is taking about the children that they need. That there are few children that I know that were born in the city. Some of them, their mothers, they come with them in the city. But now they are put in shopping centers. That means the very same thing that the mother was doing. I think this professor is going to help us get that more. In terms of the medical parole on our waiting time, I think it is still a challenge on us. We were on the oversight last week. We found a man that is on trial and he's still sleeping in the hospital. And no one is taking care of that person. The other inmates that are still inside the people that are in the hospital, that the ones who are helping was men to come into the bathroom. So it's a challenge for us. In terms of the patients, maybe we need to look at the again for the people who are leading at the learning. Some of them, they don't have connection. And how is this thing working? Is it working with the connection? Or is it working with the connection? What are we going to do?
Thank you,
Mr. Just two little comments. The one is, when does the Honourable Minister anticipate having this research completed? And the second one, Chair, is the whole issue around substance abuse. Now, with my limited knowledge of prison life, you know, with God's grace, I haven't been there. But with my limited knowledge from what I've seen in newspapers and discussions with people, they tell you that it's fairly easy to sneak in substances. That in fact, you know, certain substance rings are actually run from prison, and that it's fairly easy to run them and to do business from prison. Apparently some multi-millionaires sitting in prison, you know, making money while they are in the bed, enjoying five-star treatment. So I would just like to have a sense of whether the legislation that's been proposed is going to be able to put clamp on activities of this nature. You are also told, Chair, that there are other elements. Like, for example, these heists that used to take place, there was a great frequency of them, and now I understand that they're tapering down. And these also are organized from prison, some of them are, I suppose, not all. Whether this type of activity, Shem Gudetal or the Orkhislam comes up, it can be contained with any of the legislation that the courts do.
Yeah, for somebody that hasn't been to prison, you know, a lot. You should be to prison on oversight committee very, very soon.
Thank you for the... Yes, it's very, very painful for women in prison having children. Their children growing up in prison. It's very disturbing. Even if the mother is going to be sentenced for 6 months or for 3 years, that child grew in a very wrong way. So I don't think it's nice. I think I want to second the minister that the legislation must be amended so that we must tell that law that the women can go out with kids. But I also want to differ to this concern was raised by Mr. Peter of saying women only they can. There are habitually criminals, women in prison, that we cannot take them out because they are women. Some are sentenced, life sentence. I don't think we can take such women outside. I just want to raise that question. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. You respond, but just a quick up, Minister. I'd hate a session to go out of this committee that you were suggesting that women with children, even though found guilty, would be out. I think what the Minister was saying is deferred detention. So let us be very clear, this the leader is here. We're talking, no, not that you're doing anything wrong. You assist us to transmit the message. I think the Minister was saying deferred detention. Get your baby and everything else, and then be detained. Not so. If that is correct, Minister, I was just raising so that you can clarify it for us. Otherwise, it's another exercise in So, Minister, do you want to respond to any of these inputs?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, honourable members. You write Chairperson. We're not saying, I mean, there are women who committed very serious crimes. There are women who murder, there are women who sell in prison. The issue for me is the ability to separate them. But where you have a woman who committed a crime, you can't get us our decision, but you can't get us from it, we have to discuss it. You committed crime and you convicted. Yeah? You allow if that woman is pregnant, you allow for correctional supervision, community service. For some time, if you want to say 2 years, that's fine. After which, if the woman is intended to custodial sentence, you then send the woman to prison. So you put it on hold to allow her to give birth. Bring up the child for 2 years, 10 years, or to sign now we are allowing them to keep the children, and then you allow them to proceed to serve the sentence. So, even in this case, in all these ones who are there, we just have to find ways. If we say tomorrow we want to separate the women and the children, the children from the women, and take the children out, obviously there will be an outcry. So we've got to find creative ways of rescuing the children who are currently at our center. Bearing in mind that the mothers have committed crimes, but the babies have not committed crimes. But also, we'll have an opportunity to divert the resources which have been spent on the children and utilize the resources where they are mostly needed in the core mandate of the department, the rehabilitation, development and care. That to me is clear. So there must come a time when we engage as a correctional services and portfolio for me agree that what exactly is the core mandate of the department. And if we agree on the core mandate of the department, agree that the department should focus on its core mandate rather than all the many other things. It's like health. If you look at issues of health, it's not our priority, our mandate to provide health facilities for inmates. But because they are in our center, So you have to make sure that they care of the inmates. But it should primarily be the responsibility of the Department of Health to take care of the needs, medical needs of the inmates. So it's a whole lot of things which we all have to do, because obviously even when we talk about children, DCS can't go it alone. We have to work together with social development, we have to work together with justice and all of the many other government departments to manage and support the system. The sister is correct, it's a people that the portfolio committee, but not only the budget, the idea of portfolio committee, the budget has been cut down. Because it would actually be good for the portfolio committee to have insight into what else is available to us. So that when we come as a department to make presentations to you, you whole have the benefit of exposure. I'm raising, for instance, things like you know, there's a new concept of a two-step prison. The concept, a new concept here, prison, which are moved out of containers. Containers. You call them, I immediately ask you what, but they are going to escape. No, they can't. What is done? There is zero rate. We're going to devise creative ways of meeting our needs as a department. And obviously we rely a lot on the support of the population. But of course it's easier to support an initiative when you've been exposed to it. So I mean that whole idea of open prisons, all of these things, there are things of course when you listen to some of the presentations, you also realize that we're not there yet. It's going to take us time, but there are also things which we need to do as quickly as possible, which we can take from other countries. The proclamation of the Act will be done by the 1st of October. I should have mentioned that. It will be done by the 1st of October. The only section of the amendment, sections of the Amendment Act, which will not enter into operation by the Fed, are Section 48 and 49. That deals with the incarceration framework. You know that currently Judge Desai and his team are working on the incarceration framework. That's one of the things they're going to be discussing with them. How soon can they be ready? Okay. Well, the only way you can then accommodate and talk to 48 and 49 is when the computer starts. The research, I really hope that some of the research work that we are commissioning in the department, that really they wouldn't take a year. It's a wish. But sometimes I find that in government departments, when you talk to people, when you engage in a meeting, expecting that as you talk and issue in directives, people still wait for you to write a directive and send back to them. By the way, following that meeting, I directed. When in fact, as you talk in a meeting and engage and you reach conclusions, you are directing people to do certain things and you don't expect to go back to them to establish whether it's done or not. But you expect people to come back and give you a report that it's working so well. So sometimes you find that as you engage with managers and you think through things and you direct them to do certain things, they actually think that you are thinking aloud. So later when you go back and say, how far is that process? How far is that one? How far is that one? They say, okay. You mean that we should do it? So we've had to actually make it clear now at the management meeting that when we talk and we take decisions, it's a directive. We go, we implement. Because I think that some of it, by now, 4 months that we see, there was something that we identified the day one as we arrived there. By now, we should be saying, okay, there's reasonable work that has been done. But it has not happened. Things are still starting to warm up. you want, you must go back and say, but on certain days, this is the directive I issued. So I don't have to write proof of paper of the directive. If you sit in a meeting of top management meetings and you read decisions and you issue decisions, you take a directive to the top management to go out and meet. And we have to make a call to the manager. So a lot of what we're talking about, actually, we'll be talking about work that really is coming to some conclusion. Yeah, the matter of the ATG, the sick old man, of course, will follow up on that matter so that we can hear. On other matters raised by Mr. Akram of activity in the people, drug smuggling and so on, there's a lot which is going on in the prison. You don't know.
I would love to know.
This is the one next door here. When the visit to Paul's more, that's the correct thing to do. Chairperson, we can't wait for the 18th of November for this time. Very soon we have to come back and provide you the media report around Foxtrot. The report that I called last week, we were in Foxtrot, where an inmate was done. And commissioned an investigation, an internal investigation. Just in the way, commission an internal investigation to look into the development leading to the death of our team. And once you receive that report, you really realize just how dangerous an environment can be. Because you don't expect such a process, which is a state of art marketing, super marketing, they call it. You don't expect certain things to happen, but they do happen. But once the report is ready, we will come and make a presentation to the portfolio committee, because we would like you to be aware of some of the typical challenges we are beginning to have. So those matters of drug smuggling, and we must also be welcome also to visit the entity. It would be good to visit the facility before we present the report, so that the portfolio committee can have a sense of why we are raising questions about certain things in view of the state of the facility itself. So if that could happen, we would be happy to liberate the facility, Thank you very much.
All right, let's take one, two. Comments. Yeah. Number two, Mr. Self, Mr. Pickler, and Mark Brain, yeah?
Thank you very much.
We haven't given that one a thought, Mr. Sotis, but you are right.
But I'm saying, just in terms of
the
technicality, I think it isn't necessary to whether it should be there on. And that is that the theory should be to keep people inside the sort of mothers with children. There is an NGO that I'm aware of that is very keen to do it. On the ground and properly secure so that you can raise children in as normal an environment as possible without necessarily having people in the community. community else. One of those women he spoke to, 17 years with a small child. Now, I mean, I'm not sure that you want somebody with a serious crime like that when having it the first chance. I'm not sure that that's appropriate. I just mentioned that because I think there are other ways of achieving the same thing.
So we're seeing allowed. These are some of the things that we're looking into. Obviously, DCS can't take that kind of decision. So obviously, there will have to be broad consultation with NGOs that are doing this work. We'll probably come out with those kinds of suggestions with the entire JCPS cluster, because it's the Department of Justice and even the police may be unhappy with some of the proposals we want to make. So these are views we want to throw on the table so that society can engage. We all engage on the matter and look at what would be the best for the children. For me, it's not about their mother. It's about their children and the conditions under which they grow. It can't be right that a child doesn't know drugs. And when a child, for the first time, is released to the custody of the grandparents or whoever else is related to look after the child, the child sees drugs for the first time. It can't be correct that a child is not familiar with name. That is what we saw in the project end. When we walked in with the TV crew, the children started screaming because they were men in our midst. It can't be correct. So we just wanting to deal with all these abnormalities. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are open to views by different people. But also to look at how do other countries say. We may be saying, okay, maybe we need to just delay or to put on hold the incarceration of the mother. But what are other countries doing about it? Because it could be that there are other very creative ways of managing that situation without the child feeling that he or she is in prison. I think I'm basing all of the things I'm raising now with the child more on the experience we should have. I mean, if at 4 o'clock lock-up time, a baby will be moved to a single cell with a mother, whose space is confined to whatever it is, you know? This baby can't walk around, can't play around in the cell until the following day in the morning. But also, if it's cold, there are no carpets on the floor, it's a cell. So I'm just looking at what is currently there. And I'm not looking at improving what is there. I want to look at transforming that situation for the benefit of the population.
Yeah.
So that for me is the issue. So you're correct. I mean, some of them have met us. Not one person, many. I mean, the other day when we came to the NCM, to the minister, and I've never been so shaken by this. Well, we're just in a group of 30 young girls. Not talking about ladies, young teens, 15, 18, ranging from 15 to 24, 35. The majority of those we interacted with the awaiting trial became comets. Girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah? We're talking about girls. 15 to 25 in a group of 30, the majority have committed murder. They are standing trial for murder. And these are cases where they could not even be allowed to be out on bail. They are inside. It's a young girl. Yeah? It's just unbelievable. So I'm very much aware that some of the crimes committed by young women are actually very serious crimes. So it's not something you can easily let loose into our society. You have to do something, put programs in place to rehabilitate and correct their state of mind. But I'm just saying that as we move forward together, we need to start thinking. Let's do a lot of thinking, research, and engaging about this responsibility which we have of changing this challenge. Because I really honestly believe that you cannot have, I'm not saying this is a sole source, you cannot have at our center the most 70% of the inmates being young children with age ranging between 17 and 35 having committed serious crimes and believe that it's a moment of time. There's something serious. push your children alive. So it's about, it's in the context of all of those things that we are, it could be that the recession comes and say, I need to make the next payment. Can't be done. We need advice. So a politician, they came, they throw it to the officials, the whole commission said, come back, provide you with information and alternatives. So that's the key of that.
1 minute each, Mr. Fisher, for a
you know, when we came here, the situation of people was terrible. But we managed change. As you have seen, was two exposures. Visit to America, visit to Britain, visit to the Netherlands, visit to Denmark, visit to New Zealand. He copied many of his books, copied his books. Unit management from Canada. When we arrived here, when we started here in Tuesday, South Africa, it was a command type of system where we didn't have the type of ranking. Where general, brigadier, colonel, that was the type. It was like army. Remember, in Jakarta, we had 10 generals. Said, no, too much. No, you can't have this much. We had 10 generals, one group, in Mali. Now, we changed that. Because the copies from abroad, we brought it here. The question of inspecting that, we copied also in Mali. We said, no, man, South Africa, we need this is because they're what we call an ombudsman, monitor, prison. Said, no, we need to train. We call it inspector. Monitor the prison. So that the various aspects that are in as long as we do not go abroad and get this, what is happening in other prisons, as a country, we will not move forward. Because what we want to move, what we want to do, we are changing from the type of retrieving the type of justice. Where society becomes revengeful against people who committed, want to punish them. You know, we say in Denmark, a person when is kept in prison, separated from the human society. He is punished. He or she is punished. He expects that he is in prison. And therefore, he must change that when he is in prison. And apply the focus to normalize him. So that when he comes back, he must not be bitter in society. What happens in South Africa? Prisoners, when they come out of prison, they become bitter. Because they are rejected by society. Because he has that test, that stigmatized human society. We need also to orientate the society. That's why we also need, not just the business, to have meetings with society. Tell them what is happening there, why should we have. Because we don't want this space of people going to prison, coming out and going back to prison. Because that is just for society. In this question of saying a person wears that tag of being in prison and therefore cannot employ, not employed for unemployed people. That's the thing. We have to fight with industry. Employer, you know, the reason of the is as long as there's the 300 people, that's what we all have.
Come back to the medication just at the time, but I know that they were busy
finalizing one or two of the issues that obviously Mr.
Zahid. Chair, I understand obviously very much important that the council is very important. But this is the present commission and the meeting that we have. The council is a short way to and I could just appeal, I mean, my diary certainly in this case, because of us, the non-state of crime, and just a few escape dates from this to a 24-hour notice to the use of the
council. We received it yesterday, but we take it, we apologize for this. We will attempt as far as we are possible, not to have any performance, but really our performance. As soon as we have an indication that it's postponed, we will communicate to everybody. So we take that and we apologize for that. Our next meeting is on the 26th of August, a very important meeting. We're dealing with the Minister, with the financials of the department together with the AG. We've asked the department to come looking at the actual, and we've asked the AG to be present with us. And then the other two agenda items will be dealing with the outsourcing of the department, and internally we'll adopt our 5-year program. So I think all members of the committee, it's important that you are there. It's going to be a very important meeting. And the adoption of our program would need a quorum, obviously. So that's the 26th. And so then, may you all be good and have a wonderful time. Minister, thank you. Thank you, Deputy, and thank you to everyone in the company. Thank you very much. Thank you, the judge. Yeah, no, 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 no